You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
I'm good, how are you?
Marvellous.
Fantastic. What are we going to be looking at today?
Well, today I think we'll go for one new, one relatively new, and one old. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic. What one are we going to start with?
Let's start with brand new. Now, there's a fellow called, and I'm probably going to pronounce his name incorrectly. You'll understand why in a second. Mael Manzanza. I hope I've got his name right.
I mean, when I look at the name, I wouldn't even know how to pronounce it. So
okay, let's just call him Mael. And I hope we're not too far wrong. Anyway, he was one of the original trio that started the Electric Wire Hustle. He was the drummer.
Really?
Yep. And I don't know exactly when he left, but I do know that a few years ago he put out a solo record called One, and it's quite far removed from Electric Wire Hustle.
Yeah, if I listen to this, I wouldn't even...
what we're just about to hear now. Yeah, you won't know. Anyway, he's got a new record out, and it's called... It's kind of... I don't know if it's supposed to be a continuation of One. It's called 1.1 Live at the Blue Whale, Los Angeles. And First Word Records have put it out in the United States. Okay, so as it's suggested by this, it's a live album.
Right.
Does it sound like Electric Wire Hustle live?
No. I don't even think it sounds like a live performance.
You'd be able to tell if in some parts of the album it is quite clear. And what it is, it's basically a jazz performance. But like I've said before, to me, jazz isn't, or in fact, any kind of music isn't a set of set parameters. It's a description of some form of expression. It's not rules anyone adheres to. And particularly in the world of jazz, you'll find that it's not really about rules, or unless your name is Wynton Marsalis, who thinks there's particular rules, which finished in 1959. But that's not who we're talking about. My old man's answer. Right.
Is he has he got a lot of improvisational? Does he use a lot of improvisational techniques?
Hell yeah!
Yeah.
Well, he's a drummer, so he basically leads the group as the drummer. And who else we have on this? Mark DeClive Lowe, who you remember a few weeks ago we had his Blue Note mixtape. Mark DeClive Lowe, the keys player, piano player. Mark's wife Nia Andrews, vocalist. She's on a couple of the tunes. Ben Shepherd, who's from Wellington, which is where Mael grew up. He plays bass on it. Who else we got? Oh, Miguel Atwood Ferguson. Now, Miguel, do you know who Miguel is?
I think the name sounds very familiar.
It probably does, because he's done stuff with Flying Lotus, done stuff with Gaslamp Killer. He's on that Thundercat, where, what's that one called? The last Thundercat EP? Never mind.
I don't know.
I can see the picture of it in my mind. And I think he's done, I think he was even on that John Cale M-Fans, the recreation of music for a new society.
So anyway, he's been around.
Edward Ferguson does a lot of stuff. Anyway, he's leading a string quartet on this recording with Mael called, I forgot what they're called, but nonetheless, he's in charge of that part of it. So what do they do? Is it like a complete improv from start to finish? No, it's not.
It sounds like it, though, which I think kind of adds to the enjoyment. Is you don't really know where it's taking you.
I mean, there's a framework. There's the changes. There's things like that. It's basically, you know, all playing like that is about improvisations within the changes, the chords, whatever. And on this, you might recognise a couple of the tunes. If you've heard his first record, One, you might recognise something off that. There's a Theo Parrish track, which isn't quite so house-oriented. I think my old man Zanza played with Theo Parrish, actually. Is there another cover? Yes, there is. In fact, the one we're going to hear, Bobby Hutcherson, the great vibes player, who made such an impact on Blue Note Records between about 1964, and I think he was even on Blue Note up till when he died this year,
wow,
on and off. We're having a tune from him which is called Mantara. Now, what I think is most interesting about this is there's no vibraphone in
the piece.
It was written, Hutcherson wrote it for vibes. So
why do you reckon that they decided not to add vibraphone into it at all?
Because they don't have a vibes player, I should think.
Okay.
Well, don't you think? Make me think of that career.
As simple as that.
All right, so it's called Mantara. It's by Mael Manzanza. The album is called 1.1, Live at the Blue Whale, Los Angeles, on First Word Records.
So we were just listening to Mael Manzanza with, is it Mantara? Is that how you say the track, Troy?
Isn't it Montara?
Montara? I heard you say Mantara before.
Oh, because it is Mantara. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. A fantastic track. It took me by surprise. It really, really did. And I'm shocked that, I don't know, I think it's awesome that he's a Kiwi guy making some pretty sweet music.
All right. Well, three of them actually, Mark DeClivelo and Ben Shepherd.
So they had contribution to the composition of the music as well?
Well, no, because that's a Bobby Hutcherson thing.
Okay. So,
but, you know, they're all improvising on the theme. So.
Okay. Cool.
Along with everyone else.
Fantastic. And we're going to be looking at next, a personal favourite probably of a lot of people, Nina Simone.
I've been really glad in the last year or so that Nina Simone has received, you know, something of a revival.
Mm.
I wonder whether it was partly to do with that Netflix documentary about her.
Right.
It just meant that people sort of rediscovered her, which is great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how many people my age have quite a serious appreciation and love for Nina Simone. Like, it's nice to be able to have discussions with people about her as an artist, and people are really like involved, as well as Billie Holiday. I mean, I think Billie Holiday and Nina Simone were kind of like the two female jazz artists that kind of have revived into my generation.
Yeah, and it's funny because they're kind of polar opposites in a lot of ways. Mm. Well, Billie Holiday is like sort of defined by tragedy and drug addiction and everything, whereas Nina Simone isn't. And Nina Simone also, by living a lot longer, it was able to develop musically into slightly different styles. Where we're going, what we're going to play now is from 1961, from the album Forbidden Fruit.
Cool.
And while I can't remember if I saw this in store, we have like a huge amount of Nina's back catalogue on vinyl. And I do know we have the song we're going to hear. It was redone for an amazing album called High Priestess of Soul, which you probably know from 1968.
Mm-hmm.
But the version we're going to hear, the original version, in fact, I know we have it on a compilation we got in store. It's Work Song, Nat Adderley's all-time classic composition Work Song.
So why did you choose this specific piece?
Partly because it's a standard. And it's usually a standard without any lyrics to it. It's sometimes known as Chain Gang. But also partly because in 1961, Nina's group was like a small group. She played piano and sung. There was a guitar player. There was a bass player and drummer. That was it.
Mm.
And later there was a lot of, the sound expanded or whatever, but I think that hearing her in the, you know, like just in front of a small group like that is something pretty cool.
And did Nina always play the piano? Like, she didn't let anybody else play it for her? If there was ever a part within the song that was a piano piece, would she always be the one to play it?
I'm not so sure about that. I don't think so.
Mm.
But, I mean, she was a great piano player as well.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And this is the important thing about this song also, I think, is that this is kind of pre the civil rights movement. Let's say civil rights movement kicked in late 63 or whatever. This is 61, but it's the same... It's the same kind of drive and sort of railing against injustice that she was to like continue with and become quite notable for. It's a great tune.
Brilliant.
But it's perhaps not the Nina record that you were going to pick.
No.
If you were to come in store and pick a record, I know what you'd pick. It'd be Wild as the Wind.
Yep, that's my absolute favourite.
There you go.
Let's have a listen.
Because I've been convicted of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it working. I'm working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I committed crime, Lord, I need crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store man breathing when he caught me wrong. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working, I'm working, but I still got so terribly far to go. Mm-hmm.
break this chain off the rung. I'm gonna lay down somewhere shaded. Lord, show his heart in the sun. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working, working, but I still got so terribly far to go. Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang. Oh, I've been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go.
Man, Nina Simone never surprises me.
She never surprises you? What do
never
you mean?
Ceases to surprise me with how amazing her music is.
Yeah, that's a great one. Work song. I like most versions of work song.
Is there more than one version?
Well, loads. It's a standard.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Both of the Adderley brothers did. Well, Nat Adderley did it first, and he played it with Cannonball Adderley. Loads of people have done work song. Donald Byrd, everyone.
Awesome. I was totally clueless to that.
Probably even you.
And who are we going to be looking at next? So Matthew Halsall. I know I've never heard of Matthew Halsall.
Well, Matthew Halsall is a British trumpet player, contemporary, like now.
Okay.
And I said we were going to do something new, something old, and something sort of new. Well, this is sort of new, and it originally came out the album that we're looking at is On The Go, and it originally came out on CD 5 years ago.
Okay.
It only came out this year on LP. And for the LP, he went back to the tapes and went, nah, I can make this better, and remixed it completely. And then thought, you know what, these other songs I left off, maybe I shouldn't have left them off. So basically, On The Go now is a different album to when On The Go came out 5 years back. Lights are flickering. It's like David Lynch has sneaked in here to make a movie. So anyway, he put it out on his own indie, Gondwana.
Gondwana.
Gondwana is the name of the label, based, like himself, in Manchester, England.
And he's working with a couple of other instrumentalists or musicians.
Yeah, well, the tune we're going to hear is basically a quintet track. There's a, you know, it's piano, drum. That's the rhythm section is piano, drums, stand up, acoustic bass. And on this one, we've got soprano saxophone being played by Nat Burchill,
which is beautiful.
Yeah, and Matthew himself playing trumpet. Where this tune lies, I mean, anyone with any vague familiarity with the sort of spiritual 60s stuff, and I'm talking, you know, pretty much Alice Coltrane, Pharoah Sanders, this kind of spiritual music, is going to know instantly where this particular tune is coming from.
Can you give us a hint?
No.
All right.
But the tune we're going to hear, what's it called?
The Journey Home.
The Journey Home. There you go.
Brilliant. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.